And let's just bow our head and pray before Dan comes to share with us today. Oh, sorry, Jesus, let's put it back up. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." And let's just bow our heads. Dear God, we thank you so much for your word. And we just thank you so much for all the love that you give us and the joy and the peace that we know comes from you. We're so grateful for the many blessings that you give us, and also the journeys that you put us, each and every one of us, on. That whether we're on the mountaintops or in the peaks, Lord, we know that we can turn to you. You are a good shepherd. And we are so grateful for all of our missionaries that we have, that we support around the world, and the work that we do. And we ask that you just be with them in their ministries and all the specific needs that they have, that you would meet them. We thank you so much for the ministries that we have going on in our church and within Mount Forest. And we're grateful for the people that are coming forth to serve and to help build your kingdom here. We just ask that you be with those, Lord, that are sick or that are struggling with physical illness or mental illness or whatever it is. You know the specific needs of people. And I'm just going to pause here, and each of us can just say a prayer of anyone or people we know that need that at this time. We lift all those prayers up to you, Lord, in your name. You are the master healer, and we know that you can heal all. And just, Lord, we thank you for Pastor Dan and the energy that he brings to our church family, and the love that he has for the people and for teaching. And we just ask that you be with him this morning as he shares your word with us and the message that you want us all to hear. We just ask the Holy Spirit to enter each of us, and for our ears to be open, and what needs to be heard and learned, that we can apply it to our daily lives. We thank you for our offering today. We're so grateful that we are able to give back to you a portion of the blessings that you give to us, and we are so grateful for that. We pray all these things in your precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Michelle. So much leadership here. It's just great to have lots of people involved. And my name is Dan, for those of you online who don't know me, and welcome to visitors, and thanks for coming. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord. It's been a fun week. I have been the recipient of so much love and giving at this church. It's just so nice to be around people who give generously and cheerfully. And then some people, they might give a little more reluctantly, like Kev Horsberger's got this beautiful orange shirt on up here that I like. I got my eye on. And I stayed at his house on Monday night, and I saw something on the couch, and I went, "Ooh, Kev, I really like those." He goes, "Probably not going to wear them, Dan. Go ahead." So I try them on over the, oh, they fit perfect. So I'm like, "Thanks, Kev." He goes to work the next morning, and I look, and I'm going, "Oh, dude, like, he's not there, but I see this hat." And I'm like, "Oh, Kev, I have to have that, dude. I just have to have that." I mean, can you imagine? I'm like, I can go to a Britney Spears concert and fit in. You know, there's a couple ways to wear this bad boy. So I'm like, he goes, "Ah, it's yours, brother." And what I love about a cheerful giver, I have a verse, Kev. See, the Bible says, it is far more blessed to give than to receive. So I don't know about you, Kev, but I feel amazing, so you must feel way better. Thank you for the bling. I'm going to leave the tag on. But yeah, picture me at Whistler Village walking around with this bad boy with my friends from Dumb and Dumber. It'll be great. If you haven't seen that movie, don't. You did not hear that from here. All right. We're in a series. Jesus asked a really good question. Who do people say I am? There was a little pause, and then people piped up. Well, Jeremiah, Elijah, they talked about the prophets. They talked about some of the Old Testament characters. You know, they think you're those people, which was a messianic message. Then, of course, he says, but who do you say that I am? And we have that great confession by Peter. Peter's always answering and saying, even though he isn't asked a question. And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father in heaven. And it was so beautiful last week on Easter Sunday to see people enter into the waters of baptism and make a public confession that Jesus is my God, my King, not only the world's. And for Dennis and Britt and John, and we just want to continue to journey with you, and thank you for making that statement. Well, it's important to know what people say about Jesus, really important to know what the disciples say, but this series is about what Jesus says, who he is. And today he says, I am the bread of life. Every time I come to this church or visit someone I see, we're always eating. And it's like the feeding of the 5,000 calories here every week, every time I'm here. It's great. But if you're wondering what I'm doing when I'm not here, I'm walking and running to stay a little bit not chunky. But I know we've all got a little bit of a gut, and that's healthy stuff. I love this little statement by someone. His name is James Stewart, Scottish theologian. This is who he says Jesus is. He was the meekest and lowliest of all the sons of men, yet he spoke of coming on the clouds of heaven with the glory of God. He was so austere that evil spirits and demons cried out in terror at his coming, yet he was so genial, winsome, approachable, that little children loved to play around him and nestled in his arms. His presence at the innocent joy of a village wedding was like the presence of sunshine. No one was half so kind or compassionate to the sinful and the marginalized. Yet no one ever spoke such hot, scorching words about sin to the self-righteous. A bruised reed he would not break. His whole life was love. Yet on one occasion, he demanded of the Pharisees how they were expected to escape damnation. He was a dreamer of dreams and a seer of visions. Yet for the sheer stark realism, he has all of us self-styled realists soundly beaten. He was the servant of all, washing the disciples' feet. Yet he masterfully strode into the temple, and the hucksters and money changers fell over one another to get away from the mad rush when they saw the fire coming out of his eyes. He saved others, yet at last on that cross, he did not choose to save himself. There is nothing, nothing in history like the union of contrast which confronts us in the Gospels. The mystery of Jesus is the mystery of divine personality. The Christ, the Son, a living God. Everyone expected him. The messianic message of the Old Testament was one is on their way that will change everything. And every little boy wanted to serve in his army. Every little girl wanted to be the one to bring him into the world. My mother has a little black old Bible like this, and if you look in the back of it, it's full of names. My sister Sandra has it, and she was a sports fan, so she was watching the Masters last weekend. Tiger Woods was in there, Rory McIlroy, all the greats. She would pray for them over and over again because she knew how difficult it was to be under that spotlight, but she loved Wayne Gretzky, and when I grew up,
Wayne was really famous in the 80s, and Wayne was playing at 9 years old on a whole bunch of hockey teams. And one particular day, he was in London at a tournament, and his Brantford team was getting crushed at their particular hockey game. And Wayne's dad grabbed him, picked him up from the London game after it was over, and rushed him to the game in Brantford. And while they were driving, someone caught wind that Wayne was on his way. And Wayne was filling stadiums as a little guy. And there was about 3,000 people crammed into this ice rink. And as soon as someone found out Wayne was coming, they looked at the score. It was 9-0 at the beginning of the third period. And someone said, "Wayne's on his way." And it went straight through this 3,000 people. "He's coming. Wayne's on his way." And when he got there, he scored 8 goals, 2 assists, and they won in overtime. And that young man could create that type of anticipation. And everyone who knew the Old Testament, the people we're talking about today, where Jesus looked at them and said, "I am the bread of life," some of them realized, wow, they said he was coming. Here he is. Here he is. And if I can give you a summary of the Bible, very simple, when you're talking to people, the Bible can be summarized by 3 statements. He's coming, he's here, he's on his way back. He's coming, Old Testament. He's here, Gospels. Acts to Revelation, on his way back. Exciting times. And of course, Jesus is always, ever, only pointing to his Father, saying, "I am the exact representation of the God that you're looking for, the God that you love." And in Isaiah, there's this beautiful little mention about the passage we're in today, John chapter 6, if you're reading along. "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine, milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money on bread? Why do you spend your money on that which is not bread, and labor for that which does not satisfy? Incline your ear, come to me, that your soul may live." He's coming. He's on his way. And the theme of bread is incredibly powerful. Last week, we looked at the resurrection. After Jesus rose from the dead, he came back to visit certain people and let him know that "I'm back in my resurrected form." And one day he was walking on a road, and the road was called, after his resurrection, a little louder. Thank you. We got lots of Bible scholars here. I love the questions are never rhetorical. The road is Emmaus. And as he's walking down the road, there's 2 gentlemen, and they're talking about him. Wonderful, right? 2 or 3 are gathered. I'm in the midst. They're talking about Jesus. And he says to them in a beautiful way, "What's going on?" And their response is, "Don't you know what's just happened about Jesus of Nazareth?" So humorous the Bible can be. The fact Jesus was the only one who really knew what had happened. And they start to instruct him, and just gently he walks with them. It's a wonderful principle. As you and I walk and live and enjoy our life, just walk with people. Let God bring opportunities. And Jesus listens to them. And after he listens a while, they invite him over for dinner, which is a normal thing, and say, "Please stay the night," and he obliges. And halfway through the meal, he takes a piece of bread, and he breaks it in half. And the slow of heart to believe turns into the burning heart that sees Jesus. The passage starts with, "Why are you so slow of heart to believe?" When they break the bread, these 2 men look at him and they say, "Wow, didn't our hearts burn within us when he opened the scriptures and told us about the things concerning himself?" Jesus comes alongside, he walks, he prays, he breaks bread, and when they saw him, he disappeared from their sight. And they were changed forever. Encounters with Jesus, we see them all the time. I went for a run the other night, and while I was running, it was getting a little bit dark. And as the sun was setting, I saw a young man run by. He was doing hill repeats on the hill, and I was just kind of cruising by. And he was about 6'7", hoodie, jacked, and I wasn't sure whether to engage him, so I kept running. On my way back, we almost bumped into each other, and I just said, "Wow, dude, you are inspiring, doing hill repeats at night when it's getting dark." "Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir." Really polite guy, clearly from a African-American descent, and just a really cool athlete, really nice boy. Name is Jalen. We just start talking about life, real simple, real gentle. "Galen, what do you do?" "Well, I'm at school. I want a soccer scholarship. That's where I'm headed in the future." I said, "That's neat." I go, "What's going on tomorrow?" "It's Easter." "Well, we go to church twice a year, my mom and I, so I'll probably go to church." And I go, "We call you guys Christers, eh? Christmas and Easter Christians." And he laughed. And I said, "What do you think you'll learn about tomorrow?" He said, "Well, to be honest with you, I've been thinking a lot about prayer." He said, "You know, when I went to elementary school, it was a Roman Catholic school, and they taught me a lot of prayers and a lot of Bible verses." And I said, "Boy, thank God for schools that teach prayer and Bible verses." And he said, "But I've got a lot of prayers memorized, and I think I can just talk to God myself, and I want my prayer to be a bit more real." I said, "Galen, we can do that right now." And I put my hand on his shoulder, and we prayed together. And then I continued my run, and it was just the natural rhythms of life. And Jesus runs into these two men, reveals himself, and they go from the slow of heart to the burning heart on the road to Emmaus. And I love Malcolm Muggeridge because he calls that encounter on the road to Emmaus. He's got a beautiful phrase. He was filming a BBC documentary about Jesus, and literally Malcolm Muggeridge was on that road. And as he walked down the road, he said, "I was with two friends, and as we walked down that road where Jesus walked thousands of years ago, he said we could sense a third presence." And so now, wherever the road and whoever the wayfarers, I know there is always a third presence ready to join on the dusty, stony way. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that whenever we speak of you, walk with you, and walk with others, your presence is just so near. May we discover that today, Lord, a little bit fresher. Your presence with us, always. We ask you to speak. We want to hear your voice to that need in our own heart, which you alone know. And we'll be very thankful in Jesus' name. Amen. So God gives Moses his name, Yahweh. We call it the Tetragrammaton. It is the I am who I am. Literally, I will be who I will be, self-existent, eternal God. And when Jesus is asked in Gethsemane, "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth," he says, "I am he." And 600 Roman soldiers fall flat on their back. There's power in the name. And we're looking at the I ams of Jesus. There are many. The Messiah from chapter 4, the living water from chapter 7, the bread of life today, chapter 6. Next week, light of the world, that's chapter 8. The door and the good shepherd, chapter 10, resurrection and life. Last week, chapter 11, way, the truth and the life, 14, and the vine on chapter 15. We're getting there. The bread of life starts, of course, in the Old Testament when the Jews have just left Egypt, and they're about to go to the promised land. God says, "I have a land flowing with milk and honey and prosperity, and it's all yours." And if you look at Deuteronomy, this is one of the saddest and almost most humorous verses in the Bible. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, retelling the story of the Exodus, it says, it is an 11-day journey from Horeb by the Mount Seir Road. This is the stuff we just read by and don't think about it. Deuteronomy chapter 1, you can look it up when you get home. It is a 11-day journey from Horeb on the Mount Seir Road to Kadesh Barnea. 11 days, all I've promised, fullness in the kingdom of God the way I've designed it. And guess what the next verse says? In the 40th year, Israel entered the promised land. Question for you. Have you taken the 11-day journey to close intimacy with Jesus? Or are you wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years, not really understanding what it means to just receive what God has given you? I've done a lot of wandering around in my Christian life, trying to make things happen. It's a wilderness waste of time where God says, the fullness of Christ is ready for you, the bread of life, to receive every minute of every day. And all you have to do is say, thank you. And I find it interesting that a lot of us have our times of wandering. And when you read the scriptures, even in the wandering of disobedience and rebellion and grumbling, because that's what they're doing when the manna shows up, grumbling, complaining, and whining. Good Canadians. There's always something to grind about. And it says their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out, and he provided for them daily. So while they're grumbling and complaining, they're saying, oh, I wish we were back in Egypt. We had garlic, leeks, potatoes, and oh, of course, we were enjoying the slavery in Egypt. You know, we look back and think of what we might have had, the good old days. Solomon says, don't do that. So they said to Moses and Aaron, if we only died by the Lord's hand, this is in the book of Exodus, if we only died in Egypt, there we sat around pots of meat and ate food when we wanted it, but you've brought us into this desert to starve us to death. And the Lord said to Moses, almost with a sigh, I can hear it, I will rain down heaven for them. Even in our grumbling and complaining and unsatisfaction and entitlement and privilege, God says, I love you, I'll still provide for you. Your grumbling and complaining is not healthy, but I'll provide for you manna from heaven. And he does. And the process is really cool because the manna comes down and the first thing they say is, what is it? Which is a Hebrew word for manna. What is this? Interesting, when God provides, sometimes we're not really sure that the provision, what it is. And they're like, what is this? And it says, this is bread from heaven, and I have some instructions for you with the provision I've given you. Only collect enough for the day. You see, the bread from heaven, we're going to find out in a minute, is Jesus. And every day, you need to receive Jesus afresh for what you have to do that day. Moses says, from God, don't collect too much. And a couple of people do, and the next day, their little bread jar is filled with maggots. Don't hoard. Do not hoard the blessing God has given you. Because when you hoard the love, the joy, the peace, and the provision of God, it can rot in your soul. Very good principle. Be ready to give when asked. I love that hat. I'm telling you, I do. That's no joke. Well, Moses says no one is to keep any of it until the morning. Verse 20, Exodus 16, but it was full of maggots. So Moses was angry. Don't hoard, give. John chapter 6. This is where Jesus gives a living illustration. He is the bread that came down from heaven. They're looking for provision from God, and Jesus comes into their presence and gives them this beautiful living illustration in John chapter 6. He says, I am the bread of life later on, but he wants to show them, he wants to give them something palpable. I love the biblical illustrations of God's encountering you and me. He starts in a garden of Eden. I love that image. I was in the garden this week. I have something blooming every point of the year. My daffodils have started, my hyacinths look great, and here comes the tulips. Love it. But I went in there, and I saw some grass and some weeds and some things in my garden that if I would have looked after a little bit earlier in the year, it wouldn't have been so stressful. How's the garden of your life going and mine? Are there some weeds in there you need to get to before they get too rooted? How's the garden of your relationships? I heard marriage described as a garden. You got to do little bits of pruning and weeding all the time to keep that close. Look at your relationship with the Lord. I'll look at my relationship with the Lord. Look at your relationship with each other. Make sure you're in that garden often, cultivating it. So, had a good time in the garden. Then I thought about the meal table. Look at the tactical expression of a meal. Last Supper, any meal you have, how God can express himself through every sense, seeing, hearing, touching, feeling. When you eat with people, slow down, take your time, and just enjoy the beauty of that. This is what Jesus is doing in real time. He's showing his disciples, my revelation of my character is a beautiful, slow process, like having a meal together. In verse 1, chapter 6 of John's Gospel, after this, Jesus crossed over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. 5,000 people were following him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. After this is the first word of the chapter. And after this, two things happening. Unbelievable success in ministry. Demons cast out, healings done, people walking, beautiful ministry. At the same time, John the Baptist gets his head cut off. Every successful ministry is two-pronged. Beautiful fruit, beautiful fruit of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, joy of the Spirit, combined with some pressure. We're starting to grow a little bit. There's more people here than there were in September. It's exciting. And I know that's because the snowbirds are back. Welcome. Good to have the snowbirds back. And my wife's here today. Good to have my wife back. There should be an amen in there somewhere. So the growing of any body of Christ is always going to have a little bit of pressure and a little bit of pain. Make sure that pressure, my friends, is a pressure from the satanic kingdom without and not your little kingdom I want my own way within. I'll repeat that. Pressure from without, good. Petty pressure from within, I want my own way, not good. We got to watch that, all of us. All right. While they're seeing these people come, they are running to Jesus, which I find really beautiful. As the people of God, we have to ask ourselves the question, are the people in the town running to be around us? Why are they running to be around Jesus? Well, it says so. A lot of miraculous signs. And they know that Jesus can heal them, fix their wounds, because there's no healthcare system and there is no hospital, and Jesus is very much that. So they run. And of course, it gets dark. Jesus is teaching them all day. Ooh, let me repeat that. Verse 6. He taught them all day. So those of you who are a little stressed now that we're 15 minutes in, try 8 hours of Bible teaching. There are people who can tolerate. My friend Billy Strachan would always go to India and teach the Bible. He said they would sit down by the thousands, and they had people trained in the front row who could memorize audible speaking. And at the end of 8 hours of teaching, he's exhausted. had a meal, and they wanted more. He went to the front. He goes, "You're not taking notes." He goes, "Are you learning anything?" He goes, "We've memorized every word you've said. We're trained to do that." Amazing. And they would preach for hours on end. Jesus teaches all day. Of course, the disciples are a little bit irritated. So they say, "Can you get rid of these people, please? Send them away." And Jesus says to the boys, "We need to feed them." Their response, "Really? Eight months' wages would not have enough to buy just a little bit for these people." And Jesus looks at them and says, "You need to feed them." Peter, after his denial of Jesus, was given one instruction: "Go feed my sheep." I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know what that looks like for you this week. But one interaction with one young man on a dusty, stony road where I know God was there and I laid hands and I just prayed for him. Maybe it's a smile, a cup of water, and may I pray for you. Feed people. Feed my sheep. So Philip gets the question. 200 denarii would not feed all of these people. So Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, I love that. He's always Simon Peter's brother. He says, "There's a little kid here, and he's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Little boy, little children. Jesus prays, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned. You've revealed them to little children." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, unless you repent and change and become like a little child, you will not understand the kingdom." And when he speaks of little children here, "You'll never enter the kingdom," he's actually talking about toddlers, little babies, nursing babies who are so helpless and so vulnerable and so weak. They just simply trust. We all need to get there. He took a little child whom he placed among them, taking this child in his arms. He says, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the Lord who sent me. Don't despise these little ones, for I tell you, their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father." In the same way, heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. Children, Jesus says, there's a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, which in that culture amounted to 5 Ritz crackers and 2 sardines. Jesus says, "Bring the food to me." It's so beautiful. Bring that to me and have everybody sit down. Imagine Jesus with a little boy, 5 loaves, 2 fish. "Everybody sit down, bring it to me." And I could just see all these people awkwardly sitting down going, "What are you going to do?" And in every crowd there's, "That's the Messiah. He's going to feed us. I have no idea what's going to happen. And just, I don't believe any of this." There's always that going on in your life and mine when we tell people about Jesus. So expect some green lights, which we learned a few weeks ago. "I want to receive the gospel." Expect some red lights. "I want nothing to do with this." Some yellows. "Just teach me slowly. Teach me slowly." My Muslim friends need lots of time to think about the gospel before they receive it. And then finally, there's blue lights, which you might meet someone who knows and loves Jesus as you're walking around. Just embrace them and enjoy that. Well, he has them all sit down. And then Jesus takes the loaves and the fish, and it says he gave thanks and he fed them as much as they wanted. The Hebrew grace goes like this: "I praise you, O Lord, King of the world, creator of heaven and earth, who makes bread come down to heaven. We thank you, Lord, that you've provided and will continue to provide our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread," as Jesus teaches us to pray, is a throwback to the manna that came down every single day for 40 years in the wilderness. It just kept coming. So when you say, Lord Jesus, give us today our daily bread, you're actually saying, would you provide yourself every day for all of my needs so I can receive you, take you in, and then give you out to the masses. That's the issue. That's why Jesus says, this bread you're eating, it's me. The word Yahweh we learned this week at Bible study, the word Yahweh was synonymous in the Hebrew world with breathing. Yahweh. That's God's name, Yahweh. And it was as we walk and live and have our being, breathe God out, breathe God in. That's what's going on here. Receive me, take me in. That's communion. A symbolic representation of God himself. And receive the name of Jesus, the name of God. I had a conversation recently about taking the Lord's name in vain. You know that commandment? You can finish it for me. I am the Lord your God. You shall not take my name in vain. Isn't that interesting? I'm the Lord your God. Don't take my name vainly. Remember next time you're at a football, hockey, baseball game, and someone screams out what they usually do when they're upset, either the GD phrase or the JC phrase, that person who's screaming at a baseball game may not know Jesus. And I personally believe if you don't know the Lord your God, you can't take his name in vain. Right? Because that word does not mean say. The word take in Hebrew is carry. Carry. Kevin, what's all over that golf shirt of yours? What company? Kubota. He's carrying the Kubota name. Kev leaves here and does some crazy, stupid things on the road and gets pulled over, and they look, oh, you represent Kubota. That's what it means to carry the name of Jesus. And we carry that name not only in what we say, but way more in what we do. How am I carrying his name? How are we carrying his name as a church? Do we bear the name of Jesus well? And how you do that is right here. Jesus took the loaves and the fish, little boy's offering. He takes all that little boy had, and he says, thank you. That's the best way to bear the name of Christ. You give him all that you are. He will give you all that he is. And then you watch the miracle of the Christian life happen in and through you every day. We have this notion that if I obey all the rules, check all the boxes, and do everything right, we've had wonderful conversations on Wednesday night about that, about the self-righteousness that says, oh, I've polished up my vessel. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, in jars of clay. The vessel is spoken of as a rough, earthen, kind of a cracked pot. That's you and me. We're cracked pots, and the more broken and humble we are, the more the light of Christ will shine out through us. So just enjoy that. I'm the bread of life. He takes the loaves and the fish, gives thanks, all they wanted, and they had an abundance. You know the story. Everyone was full. And then the next day they show up and they say, Jesus, where you been? He says, now you're not here because you saw me heal the sick. Now you're here because your bellies are full. He literally says it. You've been fed. He's watching the trajectory of the people around him, and he knows they do not want his heart. They want his hand. They want a God like a pinata that they can smash and get what they want. I have to ask myself every day, do I want more handouts from my boy, Kev? Or do I just like hanging out with him and being in his presence and talking about Jesus? How's that going in your walk with Jesus? How's it going in mine? Do you want his heart or his hand? Good questions to ask. And he says, all of your hungers will be satisfied in me. I am that bread. Receive me. There was a landowner with huge wealth and land and prominence. And he had a special needs son. And the son died young. And a homeless man in that community wanted to honor the nobleman by drawing a portrait of his son. And he did. And it was okay. He wasn't a great artist, but the heart was, I want this nobleman to have a beautiful portrait of his now deceased son. Many paintings were placed in this man's home, a beautiful art treasury. And when the nobleman died, he had put into the will, sell everything I have at the auction. So when the auctioneer came in and the people came to buy, the portrait of the boy was there with all of these beautiful, priceless paintings, and no one bought it. In fact, they sneered at the painting of the son and thought it was a joke and made fun of the homeless man a little bit. But the homeless man, a little brokenhearted, but he decided, I would like to have my painting back to remember this man and his son. And it was the lowest item on the auctioneer. He didn't have a lot of money, so he paid for it. It was a pittance, and he got the painting. A couple weeks later, the judge was disseminating the wealth of the empire, and the judge said to all the people of the town, where's the painting of the son? It belongs to the homeless man. In the nobleman's will, he said, whoever purchases my son's painting, the son, receives my entire empire. If you get the son, you get everything. And you and I, every minute of every day, have a chance to say, Jesus, I receive you. And in him, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. And when you have Jesus, you don't have to add anything. You have it all. And to 5,000 people who are looking for miracles and signs and food and income, he just says, all you need is me. I'll provide everything else for life and godliness if you have the Son. Thank you, Jesus, that your offering as the bread of life is open to us every minute of every day. We receive you again as a family, as a church, as a body. We receive all that you are. And we ask that you would help us walk out and bear your name with great holiness, dignity, joy, and hilarious giving. Just like you do. Feeding 20,000 people that day. And as I recall, no one said thank you. So we want to start the next week, Lord, by saying thank you. Thank you for the gift of your son. Without him, we can do nothing. With you, we are more than conquerors, and we can do everything that you have called us to do. Give us opportunity this week, Lord, to give a smile, a cup of water, a prayer, a gentle reminder, or maybe a text or a note just to tell someone we want to pray with them and love them and appreciate them. Thank you, Lord, for this place. We love you and look forward to all you have planned in the adventure of the Christian life in the coming days. Amen. Thanks, Michelle. Well, Michelle, if you're speaking, you get to wear the hat, and then we'll take turns at the meetings. It'll be the speaker's hat. If you want to talk, you got to have the hat on. Just
all
kidding.
All right. Oh, I don't get to wear it today. Next week.
Well,
he's not wanting to share it. I'll ask the worship team to come forward while I'm just sharing in some announcements. So today, right after the benediction, there will be a membership orientation meeting right here in the sanctuary. Next Sunday, there is a potluck, so it'll be a true potluck lunch. Bring whatever you would like to bring to share. And pardon? Yeah, a not true to me is when you sign up and everybody knows what everybody's bringing. Just a true potluck. because we don't have a sign-up sheet, and just bring what you would like to share that day. Everyone is welcome for the lunch. But right before the lunch, Nathan and Emily Willems, they are missionaries that were connected with our church through Ethnos. They attended here during their time of training in Durham. So they're going to be up in this area next weekend. So we're excited they're going to be coming on Sunday to worship with us. And then after the service ends for a brief time, they're just going to update us on what's been going on in their mission and what they're doing and looking ahead right before the lunch. And then right after lunch, there will be a meeting, a business meeting in the fellowship hall. There's lots of other announcements in your bulletin that you can take a look at. And I want to remind you that if you ever miss any announcements or you're not sure, you can call Kathy in the office during the week. But also, if you go to our church website, as well as our Facebook page where our live stream is, at the beginning, for 5 or 10 minutes, our announcements are on there that you can see. And they're also at the beginning of the service here. Okay, so that we don't have to go through each and every one of them every week, but just highlight some of them.